teaching lesson this morning is Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 22, reading down to verse 40. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. This is speaking about Jesus. And he said to them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep or the abyss. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them, or he allowed them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw that he what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Jesus to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils was departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee." And he went on his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I'm going to stop reading there this morning. If you're in awe of the ministry of Jesus, and when you read about it, take a step back and wonder, I'm right there with you. The things that he experienced and the things that he encountered when he was here on the earth and the way that he interacted with people, it's good for us to remember. It's good for us to meditate upon it and think about the difference that he made in people's lives. This morning, I want to just pull out a piece of this passage as our theme. And I found it, I don't know if ironic, but comforting, maybe is a better word, that when I walked into the sanctuary this morning, we were singing the song, "He Can Say, Peace, Be Still." Now, in this account of this, he doesn't say that, but he does in another account of the same activity say, "Peace, be still," and the winds and the seas obeyed. But our thought this morning is going to come from verse 24, and it says they besought Jesus, and it said, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm." And I want us to consider just those few words this morning, "and there was a calm," and about the peace of God, and what these two events have in common. I read both of them. There was the event of Jesus calming the sea and the storm when the disciples were upon the boat, and then also Jesus calming the storm that was inside this man, this legion of devils, and brought in his life a great calm. Peace. You don't need to answer this question or say anything or just think on it, but how many of you are going through a storm? I know several people are. I know that a lot of us, if we're not going through a storm right now, have recently gone through a storm, or at least at some point in our life have gone through a storm where our life was raging. Might even be able to say with the disciples as the boat was filling up with water and they thought their life was going to be taken, they said, "We are in jeopardy." And you know that it's easy to read, but probably harder to have gone through when they went through that and said, "Our lives are in peril. They're in jeopardy." This morning, I just feel like I need to proclaim that Jesus is in control of the storm, and that we can find peace in Him. And maybe even I should say it this way, that not only can we find peace in Him, but peace is only found in Him, and that we all experience the storms. These are a couple of events that took place while Jesus was in His earthly ministry, and they just represent the fact that the world is in a fallen condition. The things in this life are not what they ought to be. I don't have to tell you that for you to know that that's true. You know that things in life are not as they ought to be. You've experienced it. And we all experience the storms of life. That's not, it's for believers and for unbelievers. We all experience the storms of life. We all experience times where we feel like that our lives are in jeopardy. On the ship, he fell asleep, and I couldn't help, and I don't want to go too far down this road, but I couldn't help thinking about the likeness of this account to the likeness of Jonah's account. Whenever Jonah was asleep on the boat, and all the people that were there with Jonah were excited and afraid, and they saw that Jonah was asleep, and they woke him up, and the reason that he was sleeping is because he was avoiding. He knew why the storm had come, and the solution was for him to be thrown off the boat. How different that is from when Jesus was asleep. He was asleep, fully having confidence in God to care for them. And the solution was for him just to speak and to say, "Peace be still," and the weather and the seas obeyed him. What authority? What power? What confidence Jesus had that he could even rest when everyone else was scurrying? But these disciples, they saw and they said, in verse 23, they said they were filled with water. Is the way the King James renders that. Their boat was being filled with water and they were in jeopardy. And we've experienced things in our life like that, where we sense that there's danger, and sometimes those things are outside of our control, and we feel like there's a warning that we're not sure how this thing is going to end, and we're not sure if we're going to make it through it. Maybe you've been there where you don't know the end and you don't know if you're going to make it through. And maybe in your life, you've been in things like that, and not only did you not know you were going to make it through, but then God led you through and you were able to make it through and come out on the other side. And you look back and you realize that the only reason that you made it through was by the grace of God. But we all go through storms like this. The demoniac experienced the torment of the soul. It says, for oftentimes, you know, and this man was tormented by demon possession. He had many demons. The word legion might have implied that there were thousands of demons, and that might have been an over-exaggeration. But he had many demons that he was experiencing, and it says that oftentimes, in verse 29, it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. I know there are some people that think that these were just ways they related to mental illness. I disagree with that. I believe that mental illness is real, but in this case, it wasn't mental illness. It was the possession of Satan, of a demon that had come in and taken residence inside of this man. And they had to bind him because he was dangerous. And he would break out of the chains and the demon would lead him out into the wilderness. And could you imagine how trapped this man must have felt? That he was just met with this storm inside of himself. And I see these two storms, one being from without and the other being from within, as a picture of how that we also deal with things in our life from without and from within. And sometimes we're not sure which one's worse. That something is besetting us from the outside or something is raging inside of us from the inside. But what I will say is that these storms are common to man. If you are living in your life and you've not experienced storms from without or storms from within, then you just wait a little while and you will experience those things, because this life is bound to lead us into times of trouble. Job said about mankind, he said, man who is born of woman, which pretty well takes into account all of us, man who is born of woman, you can probably finish this. It's one we like to remember. Is few of days and full of trouble. Man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. And our life is fast and it's brief and it's filled with trouble and it's filled with heartache. In the Psalms, David, he said, be not far from me. He was speaking to God. Be not far from me, O Lord, for trouble is near, and there is none to help me. David understood what it was to be in trouble. Job knew what it was to be in trouble. Jesus spoke about trouble and said, be not anxious about tomorrow, or, you know, be careful not for the things of the morrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. But then the statement he makes after that, he says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, or its own trouble. In other words, the day that's coming is going to have enough trouble for itself. Don't worry about tomorrow's troubles today. Just think about what you're going through today and how you're going to get through that. Don't be anxious about tomorrow.
For tomorrow is sure to have trouble that is sufficient for that day. It's probably all you're going to be able to handle in that day. So don't worry about it today. You'll be able to worry about that and take care of it tomorrow. Now my point in that is just that Jesus is acknowledging that whether you follow Him or even if you're an unbeliever, there's something we have in common. That our lives are short, our lives are filled with trouble, and sometimes they lead us to anxiety. And Jesus says, don't be anxious about that. Take care of the day, the trouble of the day within itself. And that there's just this acknowledgement that regardless of who you are, that you're going to experience the storms of life. Sometimes we bring about our own trouble. And that's just the reality of it. We're imperfect people. And sometimes we bring about our own trouble. But sometimes the trouble is not brought about by ourselves, but it's brought about by things that are outside of our control. And that's true in both of the instances that I read this morning. The disciples were just giving Jesus a ride to the other side of the lake. And the storm came. And you wouldn't rightly say about that to these men. Why did you, maybe they should have watched the weather. But the weatherman is wrong more than he's right. I don't know they had weathermen, but, you know. Sometimes even if you look at the sky and you think you know what's coming, you might not get it right. So you wouldn't blame these men for the trouble they got themselves into. You would just say that because of the events of life, that they got themselves in trouble. And the same thing, you know, for this demon-possessed man. There's no indication that he asked for the demon to come in. I don't know his circumstances, but Jesus never brought it up. Just that he was possessed by this, and it was not something that was within his control. And I've said this before, but I think that probably, this is not something that should keep us up at night. Whether, you know, people are scared of demons. I do believe in the reality of spiritual forces of good and evil. I believe in angels. I believe in demons. I believe in God. I believe in the devil. I don't believe they're equal. God is far greater than evil. I don't think that if God is in us and the Holy Spirit indwells us, that we as believers have to sit and think about, oh, I hope that Legion doesn't come in. There's no room for Legion inside of a believer's heart. If we've got the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we've got a sense of safety about demon possession. I believe that. But I also believe for the unbeliever, those that are outside of Christ, those that have a heart that is empty of the presence of God, that you're vulnerable. More vulnerable to the enemy than you even realize. And if you continue to go through this life without God, you don't know how far down the path that you can go. So it is crucial that you seek God, that you find Christ, that you receive His salvation, that you are born again, that you might have the Spirit residing within you. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But if He's not in you, then you're vulnerable. And this man, maybe it wasn't his fault, but he was vulnerable because he was, at the time, an unbeliever. And the devil had just gotten a hold of his life. And though it's not maybe his fault, yet we see that if we're going through this life without God, sometimes the devil just gets a hold of us. And sometimes he tempts us and leads us down ways that we wonder if we can ever get out. But anyway, the trouble of life. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but in most instances, it comes from outside of ourselves. I think about the trouble that we've been through as a church over the last few years. And how there's been so many things that have come that have been outside of our control that have just shaken us. But yet we've never had to encounter those things alone. We've had the presence of God with us as we were enduring the storm, and there was a sense of peace during those times. You see, it's because Jesus has the authority over the storms of life. And the reason why our church has been sheltered in the midst of the storms, it doesn't mean that we haven't felt the consequences of them, but He's pulled us through it. It's because Jesus has the authority over the storms of life. He rebuked the wind in verse 24. It says that He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased and there was a calm. You know, I praise God to think about the one whom I follow, Jesus Christ, that when He saw His disciples in that boat, and as the storms were raging, the skies were ominous, the water was coming into the boat, that all He had to do was speak. And He rebuked the storm, and He rebuked the water, and it obeyed His voice. You know, He commanded the legion to come out of the man in verse 30 and verse 31. He said, "What's your name?" You know, even though, you know, there's people that believe in what they call dualism, that there's evil going on and there's good, and they're equal, and they're just fighting against each other, and we're kind of up in the air about who's going to win. I reject dualism. I don't believe in that. I don't believe there's equal forces fighting against each other and we're hopeful the right side is going to win. No, the God that I serve, He said to Legion, "What's your name?" And He said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into Him. And they besought Jesus, they begged Him. They said, "Don't make us go to the abyss. Don't make us go to the place of final judgment." Now see, that's the kind of God that I serve. Jesus, He just had to say, "What is your name?" And they begged Him. "Oh, don't do away with us right now. We're not ready." And it says, don't let us go to the deep. And there were these herd of many swine. Now, in their culture, this herd of swine, this must have been in a Gentile area. The Jews never would have had a herd of swine. And I know there's some bacon lovers here. And I might be one of them. And you're like, "Man, you know, this was damaging to their livelihood." And it probably was. It probably was. They actually were pretty frustrated and scared of Jesus because of this. But there's a picture here. These animals were unclean. And they were seen as it wouldn't have been the same as losing livestock that was dear to you, okay, to them, right? That there's swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought Him that He would allow them to enter into them, and He allowed it. Do you see who's in control here? I want you to think about that. Who's in control here? The devil is begging Jesus, "Please let us just go in the pigs. If we could go there, maybe we could escape going to the abyss right now, to the deep." And He said, "Okay, I'll let you do that." And the demons, this is, I know, strange, but they went into the swine. And the swine just reacted. And they went into the lake. And it says that they fled violently. They ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and there they were choked, and they died. And there's a picture there about how that Jesus had control over the demon. My friend, Jesus has authority over the storm. God's in control. And whenever you wonder about the evil that's out there, as great as it might be a legion of demons. And yet even they beg Jesus to have mercy on them. And He did. And they went into the pigs. And they died. Now, the ones that were responsible for feeding the pigs, they weren't sure what to make of this. And they watched this. And they went back and told everybody what they saw. But my friend, Jesus is in control.
David, he said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Have you found God to be a very present help in trouble? If you've walked very long with Him, you have. You've found Him to be a very present help in trouble. Trouble's real. But whenever you go to God in the midst of your trouble and you lay it on Him and you put your trust in Him and you put your faith in Him, you realize that He's in control of this thing. And even though those circumstances might not end immediately, you get the sense that He has this under control and that trouble is subject to His will. And I found that to be true in my life, and you have too, where you have just clung to the Lord in your valley, and He let you know that He's in control and that you can trust Him. And like David, He's our refuge. He's where we go to flee. He's where we go to hide. He's where we go to get under His wings because we realize that it's too great for us. And as we trust Him, we, like David, can say, He's a very present help in a time of trouble. That even though the things keep going on, yet you're not alone. God is there. And don't you know that the disciples felt a lot of comfort with a Jesus who was awake rebuking the storm? And that this man, who had not been comforted in all of his life, though when Jesus was there, felt comfort for the first time. Because he knew that He was the one that could help him. And my friend, whatever you're going through, I want you to know that God can help you. You know, we sometimes realize, and when we're in the midst of trouble, we realize that men are poor counselors. Even the best of them. And I'm not demanding, I know some people that have given me good advice that have helped me along the way. But there's sometimes that a man just can't help you. There's sometimes when you get to the end of what human intervention can do and you need God. And it's in those times that we're so thankful that God is there. He's present and He's a help in our time of trouble. And what we've seen lately is sometimes there's such tragedy, such hardship, such brokenheartedness, places where we don't know the way out. We can't see that there's a good ending to this. And we don't have any answers. And our words of comfort can't come. We don't know what to say. There's no good words during the moment. But yet God's presence, His Holy Spirit's indwelling and His comfort that He gives is just exactly what we need to be able to make it through the storm. And my friend, today, if your life is just being ravaged by the storm and by the waves and by the inward turmoil, reach out to God. Reach out to Christ. And I know people say you need to pray about it. You say, what a hard thing to say. But I have found that sometimes when I don't even know the words to pray, but I just, with a broken heart, cry out to God and take those things to Him, that He does more for me than what any man can do. He dwells there with me when nobody else can dwell there. People say, nobody can walk in my shoes. You're right. Nobody knows the things that you're going through. Nobody can fully sympathize the things that you're experiencing. Even at the best, men's comfort falls a little bit short. But yet God knows. And He knows even the thoughts and intents of your heart. And He's been there with you. He's never left you. And if you'll call upon Him, He'll be your help and a present help in a time of trouble. And I know that your heart, if you're following me this morning, relates to this as a believer because we've experienced it. But there's no comfort like God's comfort. There's no help like God's help. In Psalm 107, it's talking about the problems, the trouble that Israel goes through. And it uses one line over and over again. And I'll not read all that, but I'll read the one line. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. It goes on about the things that they faced, and then it says, Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. That's said over and over again in Psalm 107.
And Israel, their activity was like that. They would go and they would find trouble and they would cry out to God in the midst of their heartache and He would deliver them from their distresses. And then they were there again. And it was like a cycle. And over again, He was teaching them in the wilderness to depend upon Him. Over and over again. That they would learn the lesson. And they say something about this, like adult learners have to hear something, what, 7 times? Maybe that's even a short number. Before they get it, I know that sometimes with me, it's more like 70 times 7. You know, people have said, you know, Jesus said, do we forgive them 7 times? He said 70 times 7. And you can do the math, even with new math, that's 490. And someone said, well, after 490, can I quit forgiving? I said, well, why don't you get to 490 first, then ask again. How many times does it take to learn a lesson? Sometimes it takes 490 times. But we need to learn the lesson that whenever we're going through our storm, we need the Lord. We need Him all the time. We need God all the time. But He has authority over the storm. And lastly, our God is a God of peace. When He spoke, there was a calm in verse 24. And I put the word great there. There was a great calm. Could you imagine? Have you ever been upon water when it was still? Beautiful. There's probably nothing more beautiful than that, than seeing still water. One moment, it's turbulent. There's ship that's filling up with water. The next moment, there was a calm. We've been there. One moment, there's a turbulence. The next moment, there's a great calm. Our God is a God of peace. That man that had been living his life ripping through his bands and being driven out into the wilderness was sitting at the feet of Jesus. They found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. A great calm. Jesus set off to leave, and that man said, Jesus, can I come with you? He actually wouldn't allow him to go. He said, no, I want you to go and tell everybody about the great things that God has done for you. And so what did he do? He did just that. He went out and he evangelized. And he told everybody about the great things that Jesus had done for him. Did you notice how he exchanged Jesus for God? To him it was the same thing. He had come into contact with God when he came into contact with Jesus. But there was a great calm. These are wonderful illustrations of the peace of God. I have felt the peace of God. And if you know Him, you've felt it too. One moment there's great turbulence. One day there's great striving. The next day, there's a great calm. I believe it was Augustine that said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. My friend, that's how our lives are. Our lives are in trouble until they find their rest in Christ. You'll not find rest until you find Jesus. He brings us the peace in the midst of the storm. Ryan Stevenson, I believe that's his name, sings this song. In the eye of the storm, you are in
control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. I love that song. Because we've been there. And it's His love that surrounds us and it fills our life with peace. I believe what the world is seeking, and it doesn't know it, but what the world is seeking right now is the peace of God. What people need right now is the peace of God. Everywhere you go, there's animosity and trouble. But yet God provides peace. And He does so starting with the inner man. As you call upon Him, as you find peace inside here, and He'll be with you through the storm, you'll find peace in Him that only He can provide. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church one time, and he said that God is not the author of confusion. And we quote that quite a bit. That God is not the author of confusion. But His next words were, but of peace, as He is in all the churches. Our God does not confuse and run you around in circles and have you chasing your tail and in chaos. That's not God. God leads you. When you trust in Him, when you follow Him, you find peace. You find calm. Maybe not in the external circumstances. There may still be a storm raging. But yet He holds you close in the eye of the storm. You need Christ. We need Christ. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Romans 16 and 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And that was a comfort to a war-battled church, that God will give you peace and He will crush Satan underneath His feet. He gives us peace with God through the cross. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to make peace between God and man. Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary is God's peace offering, that you might come back to Him and find peace with Him. Have you ever come to the cross? I mean the place where Jesus died, I don't mean literally, but through eyes of faith, came to the place where you saw in your heart by faith that Christ died for you. That Jesus shed His blood for you. That He gave up His life for you. That He was the atonement for your sins. It's there that we find peace with God. He brings peace to our soul when He forgives us of our sins. And if you've ever had your sins forgiven, you know what it is to have the peace of God in your heart. There is great peace when your sins are forgiven. If you have sin that's not addressed in your life, it brings turbulence. But when He forgives you, you find peace. He gives peace to the believer by being with them in the presence of the storm. Once you've been saved and you trust in Him, He'll be with you in the midst of those raging seas. And He'll be your peace. And lastly, He grants eternal peace to the believer in the world to come. Sometimes it feels like we just go from storm to storm to storm, to storm. And we experience God's peace in the midst of it, but we wonder, when are these storms going to end? When are the trials going to stop? When is it that we quit having heartache? When is it that when we quit experiencing the loss? When is it when we quit feeling the grief? When will we quit being, brought with all these ailments of health and things like that? Unfortunately, this life is filled with trouble. But the next life, we don't carry any trouble with us. We go to be with Him, and our God of peace brings us to a place of peace and joy and love forevermore. And He spoke, and there was a great calm. And my friend, if we'll put our trust in God, He'll allow us to make it through the storm. He'll be with us in the midst of the storm. He'll grant us peace. And I praise God that it's just that way. And I know that some of you are really experiencing battles right now. And I just want to encourage you to put your trust in the Lord. Allow His presence to bring you peace. May He be with you. May He help you today. Amen. Why don't we have a song, Sister Guyana? And as we all stand and sing, I feel like that was God's word for us today. And maybe there were some here that just needed that. I just pray that you'd allow God's Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. We all stand and sing.